of the before the Mishnayos were written down is called Megillas Tainis. Rashi writes in his commentary on the Gemara that the reason why it's called Megillas Tainis is because it was written down. The whole Torah Shebaal Peh at that time was being transmitted orally, and the Megillas Tainis was written down. It starts off with the month of Nisan, that goes Iyar Sivan, goes in the order of the months, and it lists off all of the various Yamim Tovim that were introduced by the Chachamim that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash, with the improvement of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, with defending the Beis HaMikdash. Every time the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, they were defending the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't destroyed, with the improvement of the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Hakrovas HaKrabonis was not practiced properly, so when they straightened it out, the institution of the Sanhedrin, which is also an institution of the Beis HaMikdash, Sanhedrin has to meet in the Beis HaMikdash, when they straightened out the mess in the Kohuna Gedoyla. So anything that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim introduced a Yontif in the Rabbanon. This is based on the Psukim in Zechariah, that when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, the Balabatim posed a Shaila to the Nevi'im, to the prophets who were in the Beis HaMikdash. There were only three, Chagas, Chari, Malachi. So that's what the Pasuk says in Zechariah, the Balabatim sent a Shaila to the Nevi'im, to the prophets in the Beis HaMikdash. Should we continue to fast on Tisha B'Av, as we had been fasting for the last 70 years? They had accepted on their own a minhag to fast on Tisha B'Av. So the Navi Zechariah answers B'Nevuah that when you have a Beis HaMikdash, you make Yomim Tovim, Yir L'Soson L'Simcha. When you have a Churban Beis HaMikdash, then you have to observe Avelah. So the Navi speaks about such a thing, instituting additional Yomim Tovim in connection with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has a dispute after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, that we still continue to observe all of these Yamim Tovim that are listed off in Megillas Tainis. They all have to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the improvement and the defending of the Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash is gone, you're supposed to observe Avelos over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't really make sense to continue to observe the Yamim Tovim of Megillas Tainis. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion all of these holidays were bottled. There were around 35. Every other week there was another holiday, 1 day, 3 days, 5 days, 8 days. They were always celebrating. All these holidays, there was a chiyuv simcha. The simcha consisted of no hesped v'tainis. If there would be a funeral, no one would be permitted to deliver a hesped, and no one is allowed to fast a tainis on these yamim tovim. The simcha that they instituted on these yamim tovim and the rabbanon is called the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa tikkun. It's a pattern after the simcha that we have on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, the Tur quotes in the name of the Gaonim that there is a mitzvah of simcha, as is indicated in the pasuk in Chumash, Yom Simchaschem of Ma'adechem of Rosh Chodeshem, Uzkaitem Achatzoitzus Alolasechem Alzivchei Shalmeichem. So the pasuk puts together Rosh Chodesh with Yom Simchaschem Ma'adechem. So the Tur quotes from the Gaonim that pasuk seems to indicate that there is a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Chodesh. How does that chiyuv simcha min haTorah, the pasuk in Chumash? How does that chiyuv simcha express itself? It only expresses itself b'shevi al tasa. You don't have to do anything b'kumi yaseh. It's b'shevi al tasa that is prohibited to have hesped v'tainis. So that's how the Chachamim instituted the Yamim Tovim of Megillas Tainis. And Sinisa hesped v'tainis, that's the way we observe the simcha. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion there was a debate going on the whole period of the Tanaim, going into the Tkufa of Dama Roim, till we finally came to the conclusion that all the holidays that were instituted during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash were batlu. There's no more Beis HaMikdash. What are you celebrating about? With the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. And Chanukah, that's the question, why should that be so? Why should Chanukah not be batlu? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses it. Different ways how to read the Gemara. The Gemara quotes passages from this Megillas Tainis every so often. Most of the Megillas Tainis is not quoted in the Gemara. You can buy a copy in the store for $5, a tiny little book. Most of it does not appear in the Gemara, but the snatches do appear in the Gemara. So the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos and the Sugya of Mbame Madlik and the whole Sugya of Chanukah quotes the Braisa from the Megillas Tainis that when the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, Roshana Acheres, a year afterwards, the Chachamim Kavol Masom Yomim Tovim Bahala Bahidor, the Chachamim established the Yontav of Chanukah. Why'd they have to wait till the Shana Acheres? Why'd they wait till the year after? Rav Soloveitchik always used to say that even if a Yeshua occurs, a Ness occurs, it may not have any lasting effect. It may just be a temporary Ness, and the effect will disappear.
We experienced many nisim in Eretz Yisrael in recent years, and people were all excited after the Yeshuas and the Mohammeds and the Tzchaynes, and then the whole effect of the Yeshua was forgotten. It didn't leave a lasting effect. So here the Gemara says in Shana Acheres, after a whole year went by, and the Chachamim saw that the Beis HaMikdash was in the control of the Kohanim, and they were offering the Karbonis properly. So they decided this nest, this Yeshua that occurred on Chanukah a year earlier, is Kedai to establish a Yontif. And they establish it as a Yontif, Lahalel Bahoidor. What does it mean? Halel means that you're obligated to recite Halel. The Gemara says in Erchin and Afyud, there are two sources for the obligation of Halel. One is Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, we are obligated to recite Halel because it has a din of a Yontif. Yontif has a Chiyuv Simcha. Halel is a way of expressing the Simchas Yontif. That's how the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs interprets the whole Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud. And then the Gemara says that's one Mechayiv, that Yontif has a Chiyuv Simcha, and the way to express the Simcha is by reciting Halal. And then there's another Mechayiv of Halal. If you have a nest, if you experience a nest, you're obligated to recite Halal. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Dalet establishes this, that one is obligated to recite Halal when one experiences a nes, a Yeshua, something like that, based on the parsha in Bishalach, that the Chumash records the Shiras Hayam. The Torah records Oz Yoshir, that Bnei Yisrael spontaneously recited on the occasion of the Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Gemara says it's recorded in the Chumash to teach us that that's the right thing to do. Whenever you experience a Yeshua, a nes, something along the lines of Kriyas Yamsuf, so you have to recite Halal. That's why the Chasam Sefer got a little carried away. In one of his tshuvas, he writes that the obligation to recite Halel on Chanukah is biblical. It's a chiyuv min haTorah, because the Gemara learns it out from the Parsha of Oz Yoshir. So you see, it's a din min haTorah. The Talmidim of the Chasam Sefer asked, isn't this against the Gemara in Brochus? It says Beferish in Brochus on Daf Yudala that Halel on Chanukah is only midirabbanan. The Gemara in Brochus, the context in Brochus is that there's a pasuk that says in Kriyat Shema v'dibarta bom b'shiptecha v'beisecha v'shachbecha v'kumecha. So the simple translation is v'dibarta bom, you should recite Kriyat Shema in the morning and in the evening b'shachbecha v'kumecha. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. V'dibarta bom, you should talk in the middle of Kriyat Shema. What do you mean talk? You're not supposed to talk in the middle of Kriyat Shema. So the Mishnah says in Brachos on Daf Yud Gimel, Daf Yud Dalet, if someone walks into shul and you're not going to greet him, he's going to feel insulted. Why you don't say hello, good Shabbos, and so on. So sometimes mipnei akovid, and sometimes mipnei ayira. Sometimes you have to show respect for the person, so you're permitted and obligated to greet him even in the middle of Kriyat Shema. It says in the Mishnah Berurah that bizman is the people understand we're in the middle of davening, and we're not boxing. You just point to the sitter and you show him in the middle of Kriyat Shema, so you don't greet him to say good Shabbos. But in the days of the Tanaim, that's what it says. In the Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says. The Dibarta Bam, that you're mafsik in the middle of Kriyat Shema to greet someone. So the Gemara has a suffix, what would be the din in the middle of Halel, middle of Halel on Chanukah? Should I say that Halel is more kal than Kriyat Shema? Because Halel on Chanukah is only midirabbana. Kriyat Shema is deraisa. So maybe there's more room to be mafsik. Maybe there's more of a heta to be mafsik in the middle of Halel on Chanukah, because it's only midirabbana. Or should I say in the other direction, even though Halal on Chanukah is only with the Rabbana, but since it's for the purpose of accomplishing Pesumei Nisos, so maybe we should be more strict regarding Hefsik in the middle of Halal than we are in regarding Hefsik in the middle of Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it has the same din as Kriyat Shema. But you see explicitly from the Gemara that Halal on Chanukah is only with the Rabbana. So that's what the Netziv has an essay in his commentary on the Shiiltis. The Netziv, when he was a teenager, wrote a fascinating idea. He wrote a commentary on the Shiltas. Most people didn't have a Shiltas. Whoever looks in the Shiltas? As a young teenager, he wrote a whole commentary on the Shiltas. So in his commentary, he takes issue with this Chasam Sefer, but he does want to be Mzalzal in his Kovet. So in this case, he refers to him as Hagoyin V'Hatzadik. HaChasam Sefer writes in his Tshuvas that the obligation to recite Halal HaChanukah is Men HaTorah. So he says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara beferish that Halal Chanukah is only the Rabbanim. Yes, the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudala derives it from the Chumash that the Torah records Oz Yashir. That's Halal B'Shas HaNes. Halal B'Shas HaNes is Men HaTorah. Halal Zechal HaNes, that's only the Rabbanim. And Halal on Yontif, the third Chi of Halal, to recite Halal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkis, That's a famous machlokes harishayna, whether that's the raisa or the rabbanim. The Rambam writes emphatically, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos as well as in the Mishnah Torah, that halal on yontav is only with the rabbanim. And Tosfos writes also like that, halal on yontav is only with the rabbanim. And the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he's not so convinced. It could well be that the halachas gedolos counts halal as a mitzvah, one of the 630 mitzvahs. Could be the halachas gedolos thinks that it's a mitzvah min haTorah. The Biskarov says that it would appear that Rashi seems to hold like that. The halal on yontav is min haTorah. There are really three different mechayvim of halal. The Gemara said two, halal of yontav and halal of nes. So the Netziv splits the nes into two parts. B'shas ha-nes is the raisa. Zechel ha-nes, in following years, in commemoration of the nes, that's only with the Rabbanan. And then halal on yontav, that's a machlokes harishonim, whether the halal on yontav is the raisa or the Rabbanan. Because the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Yudalad that in a certain sense the halal on Chanukah is more chomor than Kriya Shema, even though it's only with the Rabbanan, but it's for the sake of Pirsumi Nisa. So this ticked off some of the Rishonim to come up with a Chiddush that despite the fact that women are exempt from reciting Halal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, that's Beferish in the Gemara, that's a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Groma, it could well be that women are obligated to recite Halal on Chanukah. Because since the Gemara calls it the Pirsumi Nisa, whatever mitzvah is for the sake of Pirsumi Nisa, so the Gemara says, "Afen ha'ibi osanes," that women are just as obligated as men. That's how the Gemara says regarding Haseba and Arbekoises and Mikra Megillah and Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, that all four are for the sake of Pirsumi Nisa. We distinguish between Zechel. There are a lot of mitzvahs that are Zechel and Nes. Zechel Itzias Mitzrayim. So Zechel and Nes were not mechayv women if it says Magrom. Zechel and Nes, you don't say Afen ha'ibi osanes. But if the nature of the mitzvah is Pirsumi Nisa, the Farsema Sanes, so then the Gemara says that women are just as obligated as men. So here the Gemara seems to say in Brachas Daf Yudala that the reciting of Halal on Chanukah is for the sake of Pirsumi Nisa Lefarsemes Hanes. So that's why Rabbi Avad Yosef has a tshuva where he quotes this as an explicit machlokes in Rishonim, where the women are obligated to recite Halal on Chanukah. On Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, the Gemara says they're not obligated to, and on Chanukah it's a machlokes. Regarding the Halal, the Mishnah says that the Halal is Zmana Bayom, that's a person knows he has to go to work and he doesn't have time to recite the Halal in the daytime. He can't recite Halal Leil Chanukah. He only writes it Bayom, but Kol HaYom Kosher LeKriyas HaHalal. It's a Mishnah Megillah. If a person forgot in the morning, he davened in his dorm room and he forgot to say Halal, so he can say Halal even at 4:30 in the evening, as long as it's still Yom. As long as it's still Yom, he can say Halal. Strictly speaking, during Bein HaShemashes, since Halal on Chanukah is only by the Rabbanon, so strictly speaking, we should have said Sveika de Rabbanon Lekula. It's a suffix if you accomplish anything by reciting Halal during Bein HaShemashes. He didn't say Halal all day long until 4:45. It's ready after the Shkia. So Bein HaShemashes is a suffix Yom suffix Laila. And you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Halal by Yom. So strictly speaking, you should have said suffix de Rabbanon Lekula. You shouldn't bother to say the halal. So the Mishnah Brura writes even regarding Rosh Chodesh, where the whole reciting of Chatzi Halal is only a minik. It's not even a chiyuv mid rabbanon. It's a lower level obligation. So the Mishnah Brura says if a person forgot all day long to say halal, and now it's after the shkia and Zbein HaShemashes, although we ought to say Safik the rabbanon lakula and Safik minik is lakula, since it's not such a big tircha, so you say let him say the halal. It's not going to take, not going to spend an hour. The recite the halal is going to spend 5 minutes. So let him spend the 5 minutes during Bein HaShemashes. He shouldn't say a bracha, Safik brachas lahakal, but he should still say the halal during this mana Bein HaShemashes. That what? I mean, it takes a lot of time.
No, a lot of time. It takes longer than. Chanukah
takes a little longer. It's longer than Rosh Chodesh? Okay. A little bit longer than Rosh Chodesh, but it doesn't really take so long. So I would assume that just like the Mishnah Berurah says regarding Rosh Chodesh, that Safik the Rabbanan L'chumra there because it's not such a big tircha. So the Pashtus is on Chanukah also. If a person didn't say the Halal all day long and now it's still Bein HaShemashes, so we should really say Safik the Rabbanan L'chumra because it's not going to take so long. So the Brice again in Megillas Tainis says the year after the Nes Chanukah occurred, the Chachamim established Chanukah as a Yontif. Halal v'hoidor. So halal means to recite halal. What does it mean hoidor, hoidoya? So that seems to be a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi translates on the Braisa, Haidoya means to recite V'yala Nisim. In the Shemayna Esrei, the Gemara says you don't have to, you're not obligated to recite Ala Nisim in Birchas Hamazon on Chanukah, because you're not obligated to have any Seuda. The Chachamim would have a Mechaibas. You're not allowed to have a Tainus, but you're not Mechayiv to have bread that you should be obligated to recite the V'yala Nisim. So even if you had a sandwich and you are saying Birchas Hamazon, the Gemara says that it's optional. It's a rishus. If you want to say Ala Nisim, you may. We don't declare that it's a hefsek. You're permitted to say Ala Nisim. So we assume the minig is that we say Ala Nisim. It's a very old minig. And in Shemana Esrei, that's where they're a masak, and you're obligated to recite Ala Nisim in the Shemana Esrei. Ala Nisim in the Mishnah Berurah says it really should be the Ala Nisim with a vav. We say, Moedim Anachnu Loch, we thank the Rabbanu Shalom, Al Chayecha, Al Chayin Amsurim Yadavah, Al Nishmasein, Al Kudaslav, Al Nisech, Shebechoy Yamim Manu, We thank you for that as well. And the same thing in the Birchas Hamazon. We say, it's with a vav. We thank the Rabbanu Shalom for A, B, C, D, and you add on another Haidoy. You thank the Rabbanu Shalom for something else in addition. It's interesting, you look in the Rambam in the Nusach HaTfila, in the old editions of the Rambam, they didn't want to waste money. So everybody has a Siddur. So what do you need the Rambam's text to the Siddur for? So the printer left it out. So it just says, V'chulei, V'chulei. He just says, in the Shemana Esrei, he just says, Ka B'Shefa Gadol, L'Malshinim, L'Yishlam Ircha. He doesn't give you the whole text. In the recent editions of the Rambam that were printed from manuscripts, so they left in the whole text. So it's interesting, the Rambam has, if you look in Rabbi Ramdachem Rabinowitz's edition of the Rambam that he published from Aksav Yad, said the Rambam's Nusach by Moedim and the Shemana Esrei is, he say, Achayin Amsur Miyadech and the Shemana Sein Abkura Salach and Nisech Shebchoyam Erba Vayke Vitzah Haroyim. And then you say, Vala Nisim Ala Purkan. You don't say, Hatov Kilochol Arachamech Vam Rachim Kilosamach Asadech. Hatov Kilochol Arachamech, we're saying, in summation, we thank you for all the wonderful things. What are you saying in summation? You didn't finish saying V'yala Nisim Ala Purkan. So the Rambam doesn't have on Chanukah and Purim, when you're supposed to insert V'yala Nisim in the Shemana Esrei, so the Rambam leaves out that last line. Right after you say Al Nisech Shebchay, Erev Avayke B'Tzoharayim, so he says right away V'yala Nisim Ala Purkan, and it's so long it doesn't make sense to say Hatov Kelochol Rachamech afterwards. You add it on so much. So the Rambam, whenever you say Al Nisim, so the Rambam leaves out that final line. So again, so the Gemara says that the obligation, the takonas ha-tanoim, the obligation to recite V'ala Nisim is really only in the Shemana Esrei, because Shemana Esrei mukhiv to daven every day. What about Musaf? The Gemara asks a question, what about this year there are two Shabbosim, and there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh, so you have a whole bunch of Musaf, and you have four days with Musaf. So, mitam Chanukah, you didn't have to daven Musaf. It happens that Chanukah has... this year has 2 Shabbosim and has 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara has a suffix, are you obligated to mention V'ala Nisim and Musaf or not? Because just like you're not obligated to mention V'ala Nisim and Bichas HaMosin because you didn't really have to eat bread mitam Chanukah, it's only a minig. And even on Shabbos Chanukah, we also assume that the reciting of V'ala Nisim and Bichas HaMosin is not obligatory. It's only a minig. That's how the Magen Avraham writes. Reciting of V'ala Nisim in Bench and even on Shabbos Chanukah. What you mechuyev to eat mitam Shabbos, not mitam Chanukah. So the reciting of V'ala Nisim is only Rishus there. So the Gemara raises the question, maybe the reciting of V'ala Nisim in Musaf should also be Rishus. And the Gemara says, no. Yom Hu Sheneschai B'Davat Tfilas. On Shabbos and Amish Chodesh, since you're obligated to recite 4 Tfilas, Shachris Bincha Meira plus Musaf, so they obligated you to recite V'ala Nisim in the Shemana Esrei. But in the Birchas HaMazon, it's only a b'shus, it's only optional. So again, Rashi translates on the Loshon HaBraisa, the Chachamim established Chanukah as a Yonta B'Halal, V'Hoidoya, Hoidoya means to say V'Ala Nisim, in Moedim Anachta Loch and Nishmana Esrei, and Noedim Lachon, the second bracha in the Birchas HaMazon, so we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's Hoidoya, so we should add on a thanksgiving for the Nisim of Chanukah. The Rambam never quotes V'ala Nisim in Hilchas Chanukah. He only quotes it in Hilchas Tfilah. So you get the impression from the Rambam that it's not a special takona. That's one of the mitzvahs hayom to recite V'ala Nisim. No, that's based on the pasuk that the Gemara has from Tehillah, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Any day that has a special status, if today's Shabbos, today's Rosh Chodesh, today's Chol HaMoed, today's Chanukah and Purim, you should mention something about that in the Shemoneh Esrei. So the obligation to recite the Alan Nisim in the Shemoneh Esrei is not a new takonas chachamim of Hoidoya. The Rambam never quotes it in Hilchas Chanukah. It sounds when the Rambam holds that that's a din of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. It's a din in Hilchas Tefillah. The Rambam sounds like he understood Hoidoya means to light Neiris Chanukah. A suggestion was made. You see, the way Rashi reads the Brice and the Gemara, it says, L'shana Acheres, the year after the Nes Chanukah. Nes Chanukah occurred a little over 200 years before the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. That's the Gemara in the first Perek and Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam quotes that. So the Brice only mentions Halal V'Hidoya. So according to Rashi, Hidoya means Alan Nisim. How come it doesn't mention a word about Hadlokas Neres Chanukah? So one of the Gedolim had a suggestion, Rabbi Shul Kutna, as in his Sefer, a suggestion. Maybe the mitzvah mid the Rabbanon of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah was only instituted after the Churban HaBayis. Maybe it wasn't instituted the next year. You look in the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes, when they established the Yantav of Chanukah, they established to say Hallel and to light Neres Chanukah. So from the Rambam it sounds like right away, from day number one, they establish it as a Yantav for Hadlokas HaNeres. Before the summer, half a year ago, some of us went to visit, there's a Rabbi Shmuel Deutsch, who has a museum with very fascinating things from the days of the Tanaim and the days of the Tanakh. So he has a menorah which he says archaeologists dated from the Zman Bayis Sheni. He says it's clear that they did light Neres Chanukah, the Zman Bayis Sheni, like the Rambam says. So that seems to be the way the Rambam translated the Hal of the Hoidoya. Hoidoya means Hadlokas HaNeres. Because in Perek Dalet, the Rambam has two prokim on Hilchas Chanukah. The first two prokim are Hilchas Purim and Megillah, Perek Aleph and Beis. And Perek Gimel and Dalet are the laws of Chanukah. So Perek Dalet is all dedicated to Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. So the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet, we light Neres Chanukah kedei laharis la galus asanes, and by lighting Neres Chanukah, we accomplish Hoidoya. We are expressing our gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you get the impression as if the Rambam translated the word Halal v'Hoidoya. Halal means to recite Halal. Hoidoya means Hadlokas HaMenorah. It's interesting that only in Chanukah do you have when they instituted the takana of Hadlokas HaMenorah, they instituted from the very outset, it seems, three levels of fulfilling the mitzvah. There's there you should be so, each family should light one menorah and everyone's yotze. Then they made a takana mahadrin, then they made a takana mahadrin and a mahadrin. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua points out. Isn't there something very strange over here? Why they, on all the other mitzvahs, there's Hidah mitzvah. The Gemara talks about Hidah mitzvah. Noah Yisukah, you have Sefer Torah Noah, you have Tzitzis Noah. Everything has Hidah mitzvah. But you don't have that built into the mitzvah from the very outset. When the Chachamim instituted the mitzvah, they set it up with three categories. Iker mitzvah, Mahadran, Mahadran, Mahadran. Manishtan and the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. So the Pnei Yeshua has on the Sugya of Chanukah a famous explanation. He suggests that the Nes of the Pach Hashem and lasting for 8 days was al pidin really not necessary. Even if they would only have Shem and Tomei, strictly speaking, Hadlokas HaMenorah is like Hakrobas Karbonos. So whenever you have a carbon, Shizmano Kavua, this carbon has to be taken care of today. And if it'll be Ova Yomo, it'll be bottled Karbonos. So that's called a carbon Shizmano Kavua as a special status. So the din is that you're permitted to, if you have no choice, you're permitted to be makrav the carbon even in a state of tumma. So strictly speaking, even if the Yevanim did timu kol hashmonim, even if all of the shaman and the Beis Hamikdash was tamei, but still the din says you have to be madlik the menorah. So you're allowed to use shaman tamei. So why did the Rabban Shalom do unnecessarily? The Rabban Shalom never does any nisim. Gemara has such an expression. The Rabban Shalom doesn't do nisim for no purpose whatsoever. It must be at tzorech. So why did he cause a nes to occur? Why was the nes that it burned for 8 days? So the Rishonim explained, it took 8 days till they got Shem and Tor. He could have made a nes that should burn for a whole month. That would be unnecessary. So the Pnei Yeshua asked, the whole nes was unnecessary. You can be madlik with Shem and Tomei. The din says that you can be madlik. You can do the mitzvah of Shem and Tomei. So the answer obviously is that it's more mehudadik if you do it for Shem and Tor. By all the karbonis, shizmanam kavua, if you bring the carbon in the state of tumah, so it has a slightly lower level. With the exception of Korban Pesach, when you makrab a korban in the state of tumah, you're not allowed to eat it. The Kohanim usually eat certain kachikachim of korban, or they burn on the mizbeach. Okay, other Karbonist people eat, Kohanim eat, or the Israeli eat, So if the korban is offered betumah, a korban hakorei betumah, ain't an echel betumah. With the one exception of korban pesach, because the whole purpose of korban pesach, shemitchilase lo ba'ela la'achila. Korban pesach, you do eat in a state of tumah. So all the korbanas, true, you can be makrib the korban in the state of tumah, but it'll be a lower level of the kiyum mitzvah. So the Baruch Shalom felt it necessary to make a nes that Bnei Yisrael should fulfill a mitzvah lamahadrin. We should be yotze the mitzvah of hadlokas am ner in the beis hamikdash lamahadrin. So that's the famous comment that the Bnei Yeshua says. Maybe that's what motivated the Chachamim when they instituted the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. They instituted it Milach HaTchila with three levels. Basic level on a Mahadrin, then a Mahadrin, then a Mahadrin. What exactly is the Mahadrin? So the Loshon HaBraisa, this is all the Megillah Steinitz. The Loshon HaBraisa is Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot. How do you translate Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot? So this is a Machloikas between the Rambam and the Ashkenazim, the Minig Ashkenaz. The Rambam says that the first night, each night of Chanukah, you light one candle for the whole household. And Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot, the Rambam has, if you have a husband and a wife and they have eight children, so Sach HaKol, the family has 10 people in the family. So each night, the Baal HaBayis lights 10 candles. He lights 10 the first night, he lights 10 the second night, he lights 10 the third night, he lights 10 the fourth night. That's called Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot. Then the Rambam writes, Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin is on top of Mahadrin. Instead of the Baal HaBayis lighting 10 the first night, 10 the second night, 10 the third night, if there are 10 people in the family, the Baal HaBayis should light 10 the first night, 20 the second night, 30 the third night, and 80 the eighth night. That's how the Rambam sets up. The Maharil presents the practice of the Baalei HaTosfos, of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot doesn't mean the Baal HaBayis lights 10 candles if there are 10 members in the family. Means every member of the household lights his own menorah. Mikar Adin, the first level according to Tosfos is Neri Shabesa. Every family has one candle lit. And then Mahadrin is that each member of the household lights one candle every night. And what is Mahadrim and Amahadrim? So now Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam says Mahadrim and Amahadrim is an extension of Mahadrin. Mahadrin is that the Baal HaBayis lights 10 the first night, 10 the second night, 10 the third night, instead of 1 the first night, 1 the second night, 1 the third night. So Mahadrin is he lights 10 the first night if there are 10 people in the family, 10 the second night, 10 the third night. So the Rambam says Mahadrin and Mahadrin is a step past Mahadrin. He lights 10 the first night, 20 the second night, and 80 the eighth night. Tosfos says no, Mahadrin and Mahadrin doesn't go on Mahadrin. Mahadrin is Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot, every member of the household lights his own Chanukiah, each one lights one candle. Mahadrin and Mahadrin, you go back to the Ikar Din. Only the Baal HaBayis lights one menorah, and the first night he lights one, the second night he lights two, the third night he lights three. So he saves money. If you do Mahadrin, if you have 10 people in the family, if you have 10 people in the family, if you would have had Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot, so all 10 would have lit a Ner every night, and you would have had 80. No. The eight nights of Chanukah, and the 10 people in the family, you would have had 80 candles lit. And if you do Mahadrin and Mahadrin, you don't have everybody light his own Chanukiah. The Baal HaBayis only lights one candlestick, and the first night he lights one, the second night he lights two. So it turns out he has much more, much less than 80 candles. He saved money by doing Mahadrin and Mahadrin. That's the Machlekes Tosfos in the Rambam. Then the Rambam has something very strange. The Rambam tells you what's the Ikar Din, and the Mahadrin is the Baal HaBayis lights 10 every night. The Mahadrin and Mahadrin, he lights 10 the first night, 20 the second night, 80 the eighth night. Then the Rambam says in the next halacha, this halacha aleph halacha beis in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Chanukah. Then he lights halacha gimel, the minik ha-poshut, the widespread custom in all Oreinu b'Sfarad and all of our cities in Spain. The Rambam lived in Spain. I thought he lived in Egypt. I don't know. That's what he writes. The minik ha-poshut b'chol Oreinu b'Sfarad. That
was nostalgic.
He's born in Spain. And when did he write that? When did he write the Mishnah Torah? I don't know. That's what he wrote. You got to give us some other reading there. And all the standard editions that Ram says, and all of our cities in Spain. So he says, the minhag ha-poshut is that, like Tosfos, that Mahadrin and a Mahadrin, you don't light 10 the first night, 20 the second night, 30 the third night. The Baal HaBayis only lights 1 the first night, 2 the second night, 3 the third night. He himself says what the din is. He says that Mahadrin and a Mahadrin is an extension of Mahadrin. That you have Ner L'Cholechot V'Yechot, the Baal HaBayis lights 10 the first night. So then he says this Mahadran and Ahadran, according to the Rama, means the second night you like 20, the third night you like 30. Then he says, the Minigah Pashit is that they don't do that. They don't follow what he says. They follow what Taisus said. The Balabayas only lights one menorah, and in the first night he lights one candle, the second night he lights two candles, and so on. So it's very strange that the Rambam records that the Minig in Spain was not like his Shita. And then the Minig by Ashkenazim is that every member of the household lights his own menorah. We don't follow. We don't follow Taisus. Taisus writes that Mahajim and Mahajim go back to the Ikedin. Din. You don't have every member of the household lights on menorah. Taisus writes the correct way to do things is what the Rambam claims is the minigan ori svarat, and that is not our common practice now. The Ashkenazim don't do that. So that's what the Taz writes now. It writes over here. What a strange thing was going on over here. The minig by the Ashkenazim is not like Taisus, and the minig by the Sfaradim is like Taisus, not like the Rambam. Very unusual. Right, there's a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Maharil. How do you translate Ne'eloch Alechot V'yechot? Right, the Rambam says not that each person in the household lights his own menorah. No, the Balabais lights Ne'eloch Alechot V'yechot. Balabais lights 10 the first night, and 20 the second night, and 30 the third night, and so on. And the Maharil says that's the common practice that each member of the household lights his own menorah. The Gemara has a lashon that Ne'er Ishu Beiso. Everyone should see to it that there's one candle burning in every home. So in the Shulchan Aruch they write there's a minig to light the menorah in shul in between mincha and ma'ariv, but it says that no one is yotze without hadlaka because hadlaka has to be bebeso, based on the lashon Gemara, neir ishu beiso. If you light anywhere other than beiso, that guy's going to light in his office. Guy's going to light in the school in the classroom. That's not beiso. You're only yotze if you do the hadlaka bebeso. So that's a question, what's the definition of beiso? What if he has a dorm room where he sleeps and then he eats in the cafeteria? See, which one is considered beiso? If you have an apartment and you have a dining room and you have a bedroom, in one room you sleep and one room you eat, that's all one big apartment. So that doesn't make a difference whether you're going to light your light in the room where you think you'll accomplish more pisumi nisa. But the Shulchan Aruch discusses this kind of a case. If you have two different apartments, you have two different buildings, a few blocks away from each other. So one in one apartment I sleep all the time. The other place is where I eat. So which one is called Beisel? So this is a machlekes in the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Pei Beis. The Gemara is not discussing there is Chanukah. The Gemara there is discussing Tchum Shabbos, Erevei Tchumin, and Erevei Chatzeres. But the issue that they're debating is which one is called Beisel. So the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Chanukah quotes a tshuva from the Rashba, which the Taz says is based on that Gemara in Erevin on Daf Pei Beis, that we paskin that the Mokum Achila is Iker. If you have two locations, and all other things are equal, so the Mokum Achila, the location where you eat your food, that's considered Beis, as opposed to the place where you sleep. Very often, it's not equal. Let's say, I live in my apartment, and someone invited me to eat by him one night of Chanukah. I'm invited out, but I'm going to go back to go to sleep in my own apartment. So there, the Mokum Achila is only temporary. The Mokum machine is the permanent buyer. So the one that's more permanent wins. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you're not Yotze. If you visit by someone else to eat a meal, you don't say the Mokum Achila is Iker. The Mokum Achila is only be Ikroi, and the Mokum machine is going to be Beso Kavua. So there he should light the Beso. Or the Gemara has there in Erevin, the Gemara says, the yeshiva didn't have its own cafeteria. They had a dormitory where the boys slept, and they didn't have a cafeteria. So they used to divide the boys among balabatim, that each balabas would be responsible to give meals to one of the boys. And the balabatim didn't treat the bachrim nicely, like in Europe. It was a davi yadua. Their children, the balabatim, had their own family. So their children, their grandchildren, they gave normal portions of food to eat. And the yeshiva bachrim, they would treat like a stepchild. They would give them half a portion to eat. So the bachrim didn't enjoy eating by the balabatim, and they felt very uncomfortable. So the Gemara says, if the place where you eat, kavua, I always eat by this balabas, but I don't really enjoy it there, because he doesn't treat me nicely. So if the place where I eat is a little uncomfortable, and the place where I sleep is much more comfortable, so the Gemara says the one that's more comfortable is considered beiso. So based on this, the Magen Avraham writes, what if one of them is more private than the other, which is usually the case. Let's say the cafeteria you have, 100 people eating at one time. And you sometimes have strangers, not even students from the yeshiva. People from outside come in, the people from the neighborhood come in to eat in the cafeteria. So the cafeteria is a big open place where there are many people there. And the dorm room is much more private. There's much more privacy there. You don't have such a big crowd there. So that's where Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, based on the Magen Avraham, based on the Mishnah Berurah, that boys who stay in the dormitory and they all eat together in the cafeteria and they go to sleep in the dorm room. So the dorm room is more private, so that's considered more comfortable. The one that's more private is considered more comfortable. So the more correct place to light is the dorm room.
Does it make a difference that in cafeteria that you go purchase food and then eat in the cafeteria? It's not like a yeshiva meal thing. They're providing meals for you, and it's not a kavod. They could at least you could eat anywhere. It's just that you choose to go purchase food there and eat it there.
Yes, it's more reason to say that it's not based on, right? Moshe Feinstein thinks even in the other yeshivas where they don't have strangers coming in, where everybody eats together, you don't pay. Still, he thinks that the more correct place to light is the dorm room as opposed to the cafeteria. So Kal v'chomer over here, where the cafeteria is mamash open to the public, and you have to pay. So each person is on his phone. So the more correct the beiso should really be the dorm room. A lot of Achranim came up with a chiddush that just like in the days of the Beis HaMikdosh, they lit in a menorah, you had a kli, so too by us, we want to make a zechel HaMikdosh, so you have to have a kli. So this is not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, though. This is later Achranim came up with this. The Maharal Miprag has like this, and the Stechemet has pages and pages and pages on this, on the assumption that you have to have dafke kli. Years ago, Rav Soloveitchik used to commute every week from Boston to New York. So he was always thinking and learning. He would often forget that it's going to be Chanukah. So he would come to the dormitory, he would forget that this week is Chanukah, forgot to bring a menorah. So he didn't realize they sell a menorah for 25 cents, for a dollar, whatever, they sell you a menorah. So he wouldn't buy the menorah. He had Shabbos candles. He would go to the store, buy a big Shabbos candle, melt the bottom of the candle, and put it on the windowsill. So someone once raised this issue by him. It says in the Achranim that you're supposed to have a kli. So he thought it was ridiculous. There is no such thing. You don't need a kli. You have to make an heir. There is no such halacha that it has to have a kli. That's a chumr from Achranim, that they think you should have a kli. The minig is that people have chagigas, people have sudas on Chanukah. So in the Megillas Tainis, where they list of all these 35 Yamim Tovim on Megillas Tainis, none of them have a chiyuv suda except for Purim. In the Shulchan Aruch, they were trying to figure out why is it different? Why is Chanukah different from Purim? It's not just why is Chanukah different from Purim. Why is Purim different from all the other 35 Yamim Tovim on Megillas Tainis? None of them have a chiyuv suda. So Purim is an exception to the rule for some reason or another, and Chanukah there is no chiyuv suda. But then the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, if you sing Zmiras v'Shishbachos, you can convert the Sudas Chanukah into a Sudas Mitzvah. Where did he get that from? That's based on the Gemara in Psochim, on Daf Mem Tes. The Gemara says, when a Tamachochim gets married, the wedding is considered a Sudas Mitzvah. If it's not a Tamachochim, a person is not interested in learning, so the wedding is not a Sudas Mitzvah. You have to understand why the mitzvah of getting married is only on Talmid Chachamim. So that's a good question. So the Gemara says it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. So the Mordechai quotes there in the name of the Maharam Rutenberg, if you sing Shiras V'Sishboches at the wedding to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that they're happy that they met each other, that they finally got married. The Chosin is 50 years old and the Kala is 35 years old. They finally found each other. So it's a big simcha. So that converts it into the Sudas Hoidoya. Sudas Hoidoya is a Sudas Mitzvah. That's patterned after the din of Korban Toida. You bring a Korban Toida to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat it v'shnei yamim v'layla echad, even though it's a shlamim, basically it's a shlamim, you only eat it yom v'layla ad chatzos, in order to have twice as many people present when you eat the Korban Toida, and the person should express his gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in public, in front of this group of people that's twice as big as one would normally have. So that's the marker for Sudas Hoidoya, being a Sudas Mitzvah in the Mitzvah of Korban Toida. So that's what the Maharam Rutenberg says, quoted by the Mordechai, if a non-Talmid Chacham gets married, you can convert the Sudas Achasana into a Sudas Mitzvah by singing Shiras V'Sishbachas, by thanking HaKadosh Baruch and praising him, and converting it into a Sudas Hoidoya. So that's what the Ramah says over here by Chanukah as well. The Sudas that you make on Chanukah are Sudas HaRishus, but if you sing Shiras V'Sishbachas to HaKadosh Baruch, if you praise HaKadosh Baruch over the fact that he gave us the Nisim and Ifloes, so then you convert the Suda into a Suda Saidoy. I apologize for coming late today. I had a medical appointment, and the doctor was an hour and a half late. So that's why I came late. Okay? A good Chanukah, everybody.